Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 1120 KMOX.
Hey, I heard you missed us. We're back. Yeah.
This is Overtime.
Are you ready?
You guys ready?
Oh, we love this bumper music. It is a duet. It's Mark Reardon and Charlie Brennan singing here. Hey, it's the Tuesday edition of Overtime. Welcome to Studio B. It's Battle of the Talk Show Hosts. Hello to Charlie Brennan of the Charlie Brennan Show.
Good morning, everybody.
And Mark Reardon of the Mark Reardon Show.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good.
We're good. I could use a little sunshine, though, I'll be honest. Hey, let's talk about, of course, the number one topic du jour, which would be Brett Kavanaugh. And Republicans yesterday launched a full-scale campaign to install Brett Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court, dismissing new allegations of sexual misconduct as just Democratic smears, while the embattled nominee asserted he had no intention of bowing out. "I'm not going anywhere," Kavanaugh said in an interview on Fox News. He said he has never sexually assaulted anyone in high school or otherwise. Of course, we're supposedly waiting tomorrow to hear from a Michael Avenatti client who said she has a story to tell. Charlie Brennan, do you think last night's Fox News interview will change anybody's mind on Kavanaugh?
Well, it has to just appeal to one group, and those are the Republicans who will vote in the U.S. Senate. It doesn't matter if, independents and Democrats believe one thing or another, but I think he's trying to shore up the base for Republicans who might be, going a little bit wobbly right now. And so he's trying, through Fox News specifically, to say to these people, "I did not do anything wrong. You got to believe me." It was a little scripted at points, but overall, I think he did a good job.
Mark?
I think that, when you say trying to get the Republicans who might be wobbly, I don't think we saw any wobbliness from Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell on the floor of the United States Senate yesterday. And I think a lot of people, including me, who may not be the biggest fans of Mitch McConnell, were impressed with his passion and his energy. So did the interview change any minds? No, because I think most people who think he's guilty automatically don't care anything anymore about what he says or the facts. So I don't think you're going to change people's minds, certainly on that side. I think Charlie is right, though. This is about getting him confirmed this week. And Mitch McConnell said they're going to hold a vote no matter what happens. So we'll see if he keeps to his word.
Well, when I say there might be some who are wobbly, I think the ones who might be on the fence, maybe
Susan
a better
Collins.
Term. Yeah, and Jeff Flake and maybe two others. And really, it was just directed to those four because the rest don't matter. They're going to vote as they've stated. And that's really all he needs right now. Doesn't need to convince me or you or anybody. Just needs to convince four senators.
That might be true, but what's wrong? We said this time and time again, and I think we said it with Eric Greitens, and this is one of the things that disappointed me from what happened last spring, that if you really truly believe, if I was in a situation, I think you guys might agree with this, where you are being accused of something that you know is false, that's what Brett Kavanaugh says, you want to fight for it. You want to get yourself out there. I think you should have done the interview last week when all these things were sort of coming down. If you're truly not guilty of these things, go out there, say you're not guilty. So yeah, is there part of this that's going to try to appeal to the people who are going to vote on his confirmation? Absolutely. But I think the guy feels like he's being attacked. This is a hit job, like many of us feel, and he wants to defend himself. And I think it's sad that he's got to sit there with his wife and explain some of these things and do an interview that is, pretty personal last night.
Oh, really personal, like never before, asking him, have you had sex in high school or college? Or maybe he offered that, can't recall specifically, and he said no. And even for some time after college, he had not had a relation. So that I haven't heard anything like that before among any candidate for office or the Supreme Court. And, also, as he's sitting there, Mark and Debbie, you have to wonder, how many people really would want to go in public service at all, frankly. I mean, is it really worth it? He could make millions in the private sector, right? If he was a Washington lawyer, it's conceivable he'd pull down $2 million a year, something like that. So why am I bearing my soul for this?
I don't know. I don't know why anyone would want to do it. And, you know, it's baffling because what's going to happen next time, whether he gets confirmed or not. So I think that's a big issue that we're going to have to confront moving forward. But I also think it's funny that there are people making fun of him for keeping calendars from high school. Is that a little odd? Maybe it is. But you know what I think is really weird? A woman who couldn't remember something for 36 years consulted with her attorneys for 6 days and members of the Senate Democrat staff and then decided to come forward with her allegation to the New Yorker. I think personally, that's pretty weird.
All right, let's switch topics here before we have to take a break for traffic and weather. But yesterday at this time, we were awaiting Rod Rosenstein's trip to the principal's office or the White House, and we were awaiting confirmation, although some media sources said that he had quit in advance of being fired. That was not the fact, so I'm glad we didn't report that. But he is supposed to have a conversation with President Trump on Thursday, according to Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who said they had an extended conversation about recent news stories, including the New York Times story in which Rosenstein supposedly talked about invoking the 25th Amendment to remove Trump from office and even proposed secretly recording the president. Mark, what are the ramifications if Trump fires Rosenstein?
Well, let's first come to an agreement on the pronunciation of his name and Dianne Feinstein is what we're going to go with here. But I think there's big implications here. And that's why the White House and the president are being very careful with it. This is the guy that's overseeing not only the Justice Department for the most part, he's also looking over this Mueller investigation. So yesterday was kind of another embarrassing moment for the media because nobody got it right. They all wanted to jump the gun. They wanted to be first, not right. We're seeing that time and time again with the media. So that was a mess. But I think that, you know, the other side of this is this a bit of a distraction to push people away from Kavanaugh? The president's very good at this. The White House is very good at this. And this is timed for Thursday. I don't think it would be a good thing for the president or for this investigation to have Rod Rosenstein out. So big implications. We'll see what happens on Thursday.
Well, there's a new book out by Major Garrett called Mr. Trump's Wild Ride, and it points out that at one point in May of 2017, Jeff Sessions, the attorney general, quit, went out into the parking lot in his black SUV and started driving away, and Rance Priebus ran down the driveway of the White House.
That's a great visual.
Yeah, it could be a great book. So far, it's really good. And by the way, all of the interviews are on the record, named and for attribution. Okay, so I got to give Major Garrett some credit for that. The pride of Mizzou, along with you, Mark. But Rance Priebus talked him out of it. It's possible, who knows, maybe Rosenstein did resign and he was talked out of it or told, hey, give the president one last chance. You know, the president's had a love-hate relationship with the guy. Lately, he's been lauding all sorts of compliments on him.
Well, if it comes down to just this article in the New York Times, couldn't Rod just say, okay, it was in the failing New York Times, the fake news media, you can't believe anything in the New York Times, and then, right?
Sure.
Couldn't that get him out of that with the president?
You know, does he want to be with the president? I think he's only staying there for love of country, honestly.
Okay, but Mark, before we go to the break, now Charlie and I are all confused because we've been calling him Rod Rosenstein, but you're saying it's Rosenstein like Feinstein.
Well, I think that, yes, I think it is Rod Rosenstein. So okay. I it's Dianne Feinstein. It's the same spelling, but I've heard Rod Rosenstein more often, certainly, than Rosenstein. So we can, if you want to do a fact check on that, we can. But
we're going to do that during
Rosenstein.
The break.
Yeah, go ahead.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Overtime continues.
If you'd like to celebrate, I'd be okay with that.
On KMOX.
Love it.
All right, it's 8:43. I'm Debbie Monterey. It is round two of OT with Charlie Brennan and Mark Reardon. Let's look a little closer here when it comes to topics, and that is St. Louis crime. Although the St. Louis City's population dropped last year, violent crime increased, and numbers just released from the FBI's 2017 Uniform Crime Report show the number of violent crimes increased by more than 7%. The largest increases in violent crime between 2016 and 2017 actually occurred in St. Louis Hills, Southwest Gardens, and Holly Hills. Now, Mark Reardon, you used to live in South St. Louis City. Any thoughts on these numbers? Because these are not the neighborhoods people typically think of when they think of high crime.
Right, that's true. Let's first get the fact check out of the way. It's Rosenstein, because he said, I looked it up, he said it had a hearing a few years ago, so the pronunciation was correct. Look, I moved out of Holly Hills.
Duly noted.
I'm just trying to be there wasn't a fact check there, and we said before the break we were going to come back with that, and I was afraid we weren't going to come back with it. So look, I'm going to tell you, not because of violent crime, but I moved out of Holly Hills in part because of the crime. There was a carjacking after I left, right in front of my house where I used to live. That was after I moved out and I was renting it. My tenant who lived in that home was burglarized. I was burglarized. That home was actually burglarized 3 times. Cars broken into. So, no, does it completely surprise me that crime is in those neighborhoods? These are safe neighborhoods. I love Holly Hills. My friends there still don't like that I talk about it. But, yeah, this is a big issue in all parts of the city, even neighborhoods like that.
Okay, first of all, I just want to go back to something. My name is pronounced Brennan. Okay, so there's that, because I was afraid we'd skip that. Okay, yeah,
I was wrong all these years.
Okay, so with regard to crime, it's a huge issue, and at the meeting at Greg's Bar a couple of weeks ago, attended by the police chief John Hayden and the director of public safety Judge Jimmy Edwards, along with others, it was announced there's really no master strategic plan. I talked to the governor last week. He's not sure what the state can do to reduce crime. We need a summit of business leaders, and if necessary, we got to hire a consultant from the outside, perhaps a Bill Bratton or someone who has reduced crime in major cities. We've thrown our hands up. We don't have the solutions. We need a little help here. And I'm not saying, oh, go for the National Guard. I know there's pros and cons of that and all that. I just think that right now we've exhausted our ideas and we're not going in the right direction. So I like the guys who are all involved, too, from the governor to the local officials. I have confidence that they really want to address this issue, but it's a big matter. It might be our biggest matter, really.
You know, I think of it like this. Think of what we were able to pull off with the PGA Championship. We pulled corporations, volunteers, people all around the entire region all pulled together, and we pulled off this amazing event. So when we all work together, we can make it happen. So I think if we're really serious about addressing this problem, which affects the whole region. I mean, Mark moved away, but he still works in the city. I mean, what happens in the city affects the entire region. I just don't think that we've had people really genuinely committed to putting an end to it.
From my understanding, the U.S. attorney, Jeff Jensen, has had meetings with about 50 stakeholders, and he's gone around the room and said, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? And they've given it the effort, but it's still, I mean, as many arrests as they're making, as many times as they tried to raise taxes to get more police officers, we're just falling short. What we really want are 2 officers in a lot of these cruisers. We're short of that. We're 120 to 140 officers short of a full complement. And that full complement, by the way, might be a little low. Because don't forget, when you take a look at local police forces in places like D.C., they're complemented by national police officers. And then in New York City, they also have a lot of Homeland Security. In Boston, they have state police. So even if you compare our local police force to other local police forces, it's probably low compared to the number of law enforcement officers who are on the streets of these big cities. So we have to consider that as well. And not to mention, you know, what's going on in neighborhoods, homes, you know, education, poverty, is a dad in the household? These are all things.
Hey, Mark, any thoughts about the circuit attorney? Because with that exclusion list is back in the news again. And apparently, that, of course, for those just following, that exclusion list is 28 St. Louis police officers put together by the circuit attorney. It so far led to 12 criminal cases being dropped. And a spokesperson for the circuit attorney's office says they're evaluating whether more pending criminal cases could be dropped, but they're hoping to save as many as possible. And Gardner has still refused to elaborate on exactly why those 28 officers are on the list. Do you expect that she'll be more forthcoming? And
the key statement there, as you said, a spokesperson, because Susan Ryan, every time, it's not Kim Gardner. She hasn't been transparent. When's the last time she answered any questions to the media? She didn't do it during the Greitens investigation. She hasn't explained herself here. I mean, the real issue is, and I think she's afraid to open the door, is the incompetence and the inexperience in that office. And, you know, it's been in existence even well before the Greitens situation. This is, I can't see how this doesn't play into our previous topic with crime, because you have people, and you can get anyone and everyone involved in crime, but if you're not going to change the culture and the folks that don't think that there will be any repercussions, look, these criminals in St. Louis, they know that they can take off in their car and the cops can't give chase. They know that for the most part, they can break into homes and they're not going to have repercussions. So now you can possibly know that if you roll the dice, you may get a cop that is on this list and your case can't be prosecuted.
You know, also yesterday, the circuit attorney's office dropped theft charges against three police officers. Why? Because it didn't have enough evidence, things like payroll documents and bank statements, and the judge, Rex Burleson, wouldn't give the circuit attorney more time to collect them. So that's another case that was dropped.
This is Overtime.
Don't you understand? We can't stop ourselves.
News Radio 1120 KMOX.
All right, it's 8:52, and it's round three of OT, Overtime here on The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with Charlie Brennan and Mark Reardon. We had a bunch of stories this morning about flu shots, including the story of a 39-year-old who didn't get a flu shot and ended up in a coma, practically, in the hospital for many days, and is encouraging everyone to get their flu shot. Flu season starts around October, so they're saying you should get one now. It takes about 2 weeks for the vaccine to take effect. Charlie Brennan, do you get annual flu shots?
No, because they lead to all sorts of disorders.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm joking, of course. Absolutely. Everyone should get a flu shot. That's standard operating procedure at our household. And I think with the doesn't the healthcare plan give them out for free or something?
I don't know.
Nationally, they
sometimes
used to.
We have nurses come in and do it on the air. We have to keep talking while we're getting shots, which is always fun.
that's what's going to happen, by the way, next Tuesday. But like Charlie, I'm an anti-vaxxer, so no, I won't get one. No, I get one every year. And I think it's important because I think one of my biggest pet peeves with illness and health is that people think they have the flu when they get a bug for 24 hours.
I know. I have the flu. I had the stomach flu. No such thing.
The real flu, I've had it only a couple of times in my life. It lays you out. This is why people die. A lot of people die. Kids die. Elderly people die. So it's not fun. I think it's smart. And even if you still get the flu, what they will tell you, the experts will tell you, you get that flu shot, it won't be potentially as severe. So I'm getting one. My wife's getting one. And my 3.5-year-old's getting one for sure.
Yeah, I'm getting one. Maybe today I'm bringing my daughter to the doctor. Mm. She's getting one. She's not too happy about it, but she's getting it anyway. Before we run out of time, let's talk about Amendment 1. Now, this is going to be on the ballot in November, and it was being vehemently fought in court, but the Missouri Supreme Court has rejected an effort to get it kicked off the November ballot. It's Clean Missouri Amendment 1, which would put some new rules on Missouri state legislators, like tighter campaign contribution limits, a ban on lobbyist gifts, and it would ensure that lawmakers are subject to the Sunshine Law like the rest of government. Mark, do you see Clean Missouri passing in November?
Okay, well, I'm going to be honest. I haven't dug into this particular issue as much as I will in the coming weeks, both personally and on the air. But, from a broader perspective, I think that some of these things are a good thing. So I would think that if you pose the question the way that it is posed in that ballot language, that most people will say, yes, we think this is a good thing. But then the question becomes, and we've seen this example with these amendments, and I'm not a big fan of the constitutional amendment process that we have in Missouri, but then they come back to kind of haunt us and then they go to the courts. So I'm going to reserve final judgment on this as far as whether I think it's a good idea, but I think it probably passes.
Well, when it says the Sunshine Law like the rest of government, does that mean that then we'd be able to examine all of their emails? If so, I don't think that's necessary.
I think there was an issue with Governor Greitens at one point having meetings behind closed doors when he was ousting school board, members and stuff that people were upset about. So maybe it addresses things like that as well.
Yeah, definitely. We'll have to talk about this more often in between now and the first Tuesday in November.
Hey, Mark, are you watching Ozark on Netflix?
I'm one episode into the new season.
Okay, because they do mention they're trying to get a casino built in Missouri.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
They mention Missouri's the only state in the country that doesn't have any limits on contribution. I'm like, oh, great. We're
yeah, right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.